I don't usually get to do this. It's kind of weird. Well, I am excited to be here tonight, and as always, you know, this is what we're preparing for, you know, to preach the word. And although it may be at times challenging and very nervous at times, right? But this is what I believe God has called me to do, and I'm working hard at it, and whatever God has planned for us, right? That's what we're doing. But if you could be turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. It says there, "And the next day we that were with of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same day, and the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and his feet and said, Thou saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come, or as I come to your throne of grace this evening, Lord, I just ask that, Lord, that I can be a blessing to your people. And Lord, that you can give me the words, Lord, to edify your people. And Lord, that your name will be glorified. Lord, I pray that as we go through your word, Lord, that you'll deal with hearts. Lord, I know you've dealt with my heart through this message. And Lord, at the end of it all, we will give you the glory and we will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. What a day we're living in today. All kinds of things are going on in our nation, right? We have the COVID, and we have the government issues, and I mean, the list goes on, and we hear it every day. I mean, you name it, we're dealing with it, right, as a church, as Americans. But what about the lack of interest in the things of God? I see it all the time. I see it everywhere. I see it out there in the world as we're out there trying to share the gospel, and we see the lack of interest. But today I don't want to focus on the lack of interest that the world has, but I want to focus on the lack of interest in the things of God in the church. We see things changing in our nation all the time. But for me, the scary thing is what's happening in the church. I hear stories about how it used to be. Just the other day, I was talking to Brother Wayne, and he was telling me how it used to be back then. He was telling me how the buses were full, and people were excited, and people wanted to be in church, and there was fellowship. And it made me, I was excited. You know, the churches like ours were thriving in those days. They were packed. Things were good. Things were happening. But something happened. I can't tell you what happened. I don't know. But I can tell you what we need. I can tell you what we need today. We need Christians that are willing to give everything for Christ. Amen. Not to say it, but to do it in every part of their life. I know the Lord Jesus Christ gave everything for us. He gave everything. But tonight I want to talk about a man that gave everything to Christ. A man that was willing to go far beyond and out of his reach. Tonight I want to talk about the heart of a man that was willing to surrender all to God, all for the cause of Christ. I know there's many people in the Bible that did that. We can point to many. But tonight I want to talk about Paul. Paul didn't care about what he saw, what he heard, if his life was in danger. Paul was only going to serve God. He was going to serve God no matter what the price, no matter what the cost. And he gave us that example. And we see it in the Word of God. Paul is on his final stage, on the final stage of his third missionary journey. He has been all through Asia Minor. Paul has been to Achaia, to Macedonia, places like Philippi, Berea, Corinth. I mean, on this trip that Paul is about to come to an end on, when he was in Corinth, Paul wrote a letter to the Romans. I believe he was in Corinth for 3 months, and there he wrote a letter to the Corinthians. If you can go with me, to the Romans. In this letter, we can see why Paul was planning to go to Jerusalem on this trip, but we can also see Paul's plan after he got to Jerusalem, after he delivered the offering there. Go with me to Romans chapter 15, verse 25, and we're going to read. Romans chapter 15, verse 25. He says, "But now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." Paul wrote this letter on this trip here, on this final trip when he was in Corinth. Look at verse number 28 with me as well. I'm sorry, I was going off of my notes and I forgot that I didn't have this verse in here. He says, "When therefore I have performed this and have sealed this to them, this fruit, I will come by you unto Spain." So Paul was going to Jerusalem to deliver that offering. And then after he left Jerusalem, Paul planned to head towards Spain. And on his way to Spain, Paul was going to stop in Rome. And he was going to visit the church in Rome. And that was his plan. But of course, Paul had other personal reasons that we're going to talk about here in a little bit, of why he was going or wanting to go to Jerusalem. Nevertheless, when Paul was there in Corinth, he planned on sailing to Syria. But because the Jews were waiting for him there, he decided to go back up through Macedonia, and Paul would eventually go all the way around. And so Paul came over, he stopped in Troas, and then he went to Miletus. And in Miletus, he called for the elders there in Ephesus. He called for the elders there in Ephesus to come meet him there in Miletus. And so when the pastors there at Ephesus arrived in Miletus, Paul had a message for them. Many call it a charge. Paul reminded them of his personal example. Paul reminded them to preach the word. He reminded them that they were prepared. I mean, how long did Paul stay there? Wasn't it 3 years? He was there in Ephesus for 3 years. And he was training these men. And Paul eventually, the Bible says that maybe not just Paul, but all that were with Paul. And they reached all of Asia with the gospel. But he also said his goodbyes, because Paul knew that this was going to be the last time that he was going to see any of these men again. Because he planned to go to Europe, I mean to Rome, towards that way, Spain. And after leaving Miletus, Paul sailed towards Jerusalem. Once on the coast of Syria, Paul made his way down and off the coast there, and he was stopping at these churches, visiting brothers and sisters in Christ, visiting churches, fellowshipping. Eventually, Paul wound up in the house of Philip. Now, just real quick, Paul wasn't traveling alone. Paul had some individuals with him. I know for sure Luke was with him. Timotheus was with him. But if you go to Acts chapter 20, verse number 4. Now remember, Paul is already making his way back to Jerusalem at this point. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of Thessalonians, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus. So these men here are traveling with Paul, along with Luke. As far as I know, none of these men have left Paul's side, not even here at this time when Paul is here in Caesarea at the house of Philip. And we're going to pick up there in our text on verse number 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company, we see that, those that were of Paul's company, departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. Caesarea is about 70 miles from Jerusalem. It is here that Paul and those with Paul stopped to visit with Philip. If you remember, after the persecution in Jerusalem, Philip was one of those members of that church there in Jerusalem. And Paul and those with him came to the house of Philip, which was one of the seven, as the scripture says. They're referring to the first seven deacons of that church in Jerusalem. Philip was also an evangelist, a preacher of the gospel. Remember, he led that Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord. And we can find that in the book of Acts, I believe chapter 8. Philip had four unmarried daughters that had the gift of prophecy, verse number 9. It says, and the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. I don't really know what to do with that, ladies. But these women had the gift of prophecy. Doesn't mean that they were preachers, but they had a gift of prophecy. Although Philip's daughters had the gift of prophecy, God used a prophet named Agabus to warn Paul of what was waiting for him in Jerusalem. Notice the warning for Paul. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and his feet and said, thou sayest the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Agabus took the girdle or the belt of Paul and bound it or tied his hands and his feet to give an illustration of what was awaiting Paul in Jerusalem. But Paul had been warned before. Paul had been warned before stopping here in Caesarea. He was also visiting a church in Tyre. There Paul was warned not to go to Jerusalem. Look at verse number 4 of this same chapter, verse number 4 of chapter 21. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Now that's two times. Paul was warned by the Holy Spirit not to go to Jerusalem. But not only that, notice the response of those that were with Paul, his company, and those there in Caesarea that were of the house of Philip. And when we heard, this is Luke speaking here, and when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. They pleaded with Paul. Those of his company, they said, Paul, I don't think it's a good idea for you to go to Jerusalem. I mean, I don't know what I would have done in that situation, right? I mean, if you're warning me not to go somewhere, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to take heed to your warning and I'm not going to go. I would have probably turned around. I probably would have said, that's not the place for me to go. The Holy Spirit has warned me. My brothers and sisters in Christ are pleading with me. But that wasn't Paul's response. Acts 21, look at this. Acts 21, verse number 13. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the compassion, the love of the saints for Paul. Paul was loved. Church family, you're loved. We know that we can come to this church and we know that we have brothers and sisters in Christ that love us. Right? And we weep together. We pray together. And so I don't want any danger for you. You don't want any danger for me. And the same here with Paul. They don't want anything, any harm to come to Paul. But this wasn't the first time Paul wept with the brothers in Christ. If you remember in Miletus, when Paul told them that he wasn't going to see them anymore, remember Paul spent some time there with those. He trained those men. And when he told them that he wasn't going to see them anymore, they began to weep. They were broken. They knew they weren't going to see Paul anymore. Paul was loved. You remember in Tyre? When Paul was leaving and they knew that he'd been warned not to go to Jerusalem, but Paul didn't care, he was going to go anyway. And they got there at the coast before he got on the ship and they prayed with him. You remember that? Paul was loved. But Paul was bound in the spirit to go to Jerusalem. Something in Paul drove him to Jerusalem. Paul knew within himself that he wouldn't be received in Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed it to Paul. He said, you are to go to the Gentiles. Look at Acts chapter 22, verse number 17. Acts chapter 22. This is Paul standing before the Jews there, and he's telling them of his conversion and what happened to him on the road to Damascus. And he's telling them about his plan of what he was going to do now. And it says, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And as I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting unto his death. And kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Paul knew. He knew that they wouldn't receive his testimony in Jerusalem concerning Christ. He knew by revelation that it wouldn't go well in Jerusalem. Paul mentioned it to the elders there at the church in Miletus while he was preaching that message to them, while he was giving them that charge. Acts chapter 20, verse number 22. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So really there's three times that Paul was warned. One time that he wouldn't be received, and three times that he would be bound in Jerusalem. Paul was willing to be bound for the sake of the gospel. He said, I'm ready not to be bound only. Paul was willing to go to prison for Christ. Paul said, I go bound in my spirit. In the book of Acts, chapter 20. Something inside of Paul had a hold of his heart. The innermost part of his being. Something inside of Paul cried out for Jerusalem. That even if it cost him his life, Paul was willing to lose it. Then Paul answered, verse 13, then Paul answered, what mean it to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Christ. It was all for the cause of Christ. Paul didn't care if he had a message to preach to the Jews, but Paul was going to preach. He wanted them to know about Christ. I had always wondered when Paul said there in Philippians chapter 1 verse 21 when he said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I had always wondered, but Paul was willing to sacrifice everything. Paul was willing to go far and beyond out of his reach. Paul's life was about Christ. How many of us can say that tonight? I don't think I can. I don't think I can say that tonight. But do you know the impact that we would have in our homes, in our communities, in our churches? The lives changed, the souls saved, if we had that burden. I don't know if it was a burden for the Jews, but I do know that that burden started with Christ. Paul said in Acts chapter 24, verse number 12, concerning those things that were awaiting him there in Jerusalem, concerning those bonds and afflictions that were awaiting Paul. But none of these things move me. Neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of grace of God. None of these things move me. I will not be moved. How can you threaten a man like Paul? What are you going to threaten him with? With COVID? The way our government's headed, our nation, how do you threaten a man like that? Because one thing we value is life. Our life. We value our life. But how do you threaten a man that says, neither count I my life dear unto myself? What do you say to him? This was the example that Paul left behind. For those that knew him, for those that loved him, for those that followed him, and for all of us today, because we have the Word of God, and it's recorded in the Word of God. This is the example he set for us, for every one of us in this room that are called by the name of Jesus Christ, for every one of us that claim that we're a child of God. That's what we're supposed to strive for, to follow someone like Paul. Remember, Jesus gave it all for us. Paul gave it all to him. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. When they couldn't change his mind, they just left it alone and put it in the hands of the Lord, to put it in the hands of mighty God that we heard about this morning, the great I Am. He said, the will of the Lord be done. It's not my will or your will, but God's will. Whatever God puts in our path, whatever challenges we face. We're in some challenging days today. Discouragement. I'd be lying if I told you that I don't get discouraged at times. I do. We've come into a new year. We got a whole year ahead of us, a whole nother year, huh? Uncertainty, for sure. In this nation, for sure. We may not be going in the direction that many of us want to go. But not my will, but His will. Whatever it is, whatever may come. For those of you that know, when Paul arrived to Jerusalem, he doesn't die in Jerusalem. You know that. Right? He goes to Rome. It's not in the Bible, but it's said, and many believe, that eventually Paul would be beheaded. But Paul didn't die there either. Paul died on the road to Damascus. Paul died when he gave his life to Christ. That's when Paul died. He said, "For me to live is Christ." How important is the gospel to you? Every one of us in this room has been called to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our duty. Every one of us. We're responsible. We hear it all the time, right? Our pastor preaches it all the time. God has a plan for every single one of us. God has someone that he wants us to reach, every single one of us. No matter what we see, no matter what we hear, let us stand firm. Don't let this world move you. Settle it in your heart that you will not be moved. That we will not be moved. We are the children of the living God. We serve God. The same God that delivered the children of Israel out of bondage. The same God that divided the Red Sea. The same God that created the heaven and the earth, that spoke all things into existence. We serve God. We are the children of the living God. We, as you know, we have the victory. It may not feel like it, right? But we do. Therefore, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I'm ready to give up my life like Paul was. I'll be honest. But I know that with every ounce of me, I want to serve God. With every part of me, I want to serve God. Let us go into this year trusting in Him. Let us go into this year changed. Willing to say, Lord, whatever you want. Lord God, whatever you ask of me. Give me the strength, Lord. Tell me the world doesn't need someone like that. Tell me the world doesn't need someone like Paul. Tell me that we don't need that today in our churches. That we're surrendered. Fully surrendered. No matter what the cost. I want to ask you if you can. Pray with me tonight. If you're available, I ask that you come to this altar tonight and pray with me tonight. That we pray for our nation. That we pray for our churches. That we pray for God's people. We need God to do something with our young people. Amen. Thank you so much for listening today. But if God spoke to your heart today, the altars are open. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, my prayer, my hope, is that you will not leave this building like that. I pray that you'll get with somebody here tonight and know what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. That you can come to him and you can trust in him. Brother Earl. If God spoke to your heart tonight, the altars are open. And you're welcome to come. Earlier today, Brother Bruce, I came into the auditorium and Brother Bruce was in here and he tells me, Brother Daniel, I don't know, but God changed my message. And I said, what? He said, God changed my message and I'm going to preach something else today. I had a message prepared and God changed it. And so I said to Brother Bruce, if the Lord were to do that to me, I don't think I could do that. I would still have to preach what I got ready because I don't have time to go back and find something else. This is all I got. I put all my eggs and everything in this. And then Brother Bruce gets up here and he starts preaching in Exodus chapter 3. And the 4 points that he made about Moses, I was going a different direction, but I had them same 4 points. And I had to change my message. And I said I wouldn't. But at that time, at that point, I didn't have a choice. I just wanted to share that with y'all tonight. But I just pray that God watch over all of you. And I thank you all for being here tonight. I love each and every one of you. You don't know how much. And I'm so thankful to be a part of Metropolitan Baptist Church. Thank all of you. I love you. And y'all have a good night. God bless. Oh, yeah, you the chorus? Yeah.
Assurance. We'll sing the chorus.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story.